Let's see, probably chanted 11, but let's rechant 11 and 12.
Devan bhavayatanena
te deva bhavayantu vaha
parasparam bhavayantaha
shreyah paramavapsyata
Ishtan bhogan hi bo devaha
dasyante yajna bhavitaha
taidattana pradayarbhyah
Yo bhunte stena eva saha.
I'll give Sandhi again for 11 and 12. For 11, devan bhavayata anena te devaha bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreyaha param avapsyata ishtan Bhogan hi vaha devaha dasyante yajna bhavitaha taihi dattan apradaya ebhyaha yaha bhunte stenaha eva saha. Okay. So the verse we spent a few minutes on, I want to spend a few more minutes on it, okay, for number 11. So, Devan Bhavyata, causal. May you propitiate, or may you honor, or bless, or cherish the Devas, Anena, by this, through Yajna, with the Yajna. And Te Devaha Bhavyantu Vaha. And may those devas, bhavyantu, propitiate you, take care of you, bless you, nourish you, all of you. Parasparam bhavyantaha, blessing each other, or nourishing, worshipping each other, propitiating each other. Shreyaha param avapsyata. You will gain avapsyata, shreyas, the parama shreyas means the supreme good, that which is the supreme good, which is moksha. Shreyas is moksha. You know, that which is the absolute good is shreyas. Shreyas is relative good. It always turns into dukkha because it's relative. But shreyas is that which is the absolute good. So param shreyas means that which is absolute, which is free from time, Brahman. So param shreyas is Brahman. So here, really the way the offering, that what is in fact the offering, because there are many types of offerings in terms of yajna. Many types of rituals that we can do, but many types of offerings also. But really, you know, in Swamiji's commentary, and just when we think about it, what is shreyas, what is that yajna is dharma, and that dharma brings about what we call an adrishta phala, an unseen result. So that dharma also, we say in terms of the karma, what is the karma? Anything that is done consciously as dharma. There's the other thing, is that in terms of worshipping or propitiating the devas, that has to do with your knowledge or your acceptance or your understanding of all of these forces of nature that make up the creation as being devas, as being aspects of Ishwara. Because we can look at the rains as just rains. We can look at the earth as just the earth. You know, we don't necessarily see Prithvi as a devata. or as an aspect of Bhagavan, you know. Or we don't look at Surya as a devata, we look at Surya as the sun, you know, but not at the sun devata. And so that understanding comes with a certain certain education, a certain relationship, a certain understanding of Ishwara. Swamiji uses an example in the using the good old dream example again. We take this creation that we exist in as conscious beings. I am a conscious being within this creation. But this creation is comprised of conscious beings and unconscious beings, inert, right? Because if everything in this creation was nothing but consciousness, then they would all be like me. Everything would be responding to me, and I would be responding to them. But we know that there are some beings are conscious, and some beings have less consciousness than other beings have. We could say human beings, maybe we believe, have the most consciousness, and animals may have a little bit less, and plants have a little bit less, like that. Maybe mosquitoes have a little bit less, so it's all like that. We relate consciousness to consciousness in terms only of the upadhi. But if you're thinking about it from a dream, then the people within the dream, that's what it's like. There's jada, there's these things that themselves don't reflect consciousness or do enjoy consciousness, and then there's the things that do. So within the dream creation, just as within this creation, we have conscious things and jada, inert things, things that are not conscious. But using the dream drishtanta, the dream illustration, from the standpoint of the dreamer, everything is only me. There is nothing that is not consciousness. The very material cause of the whole creation is consciousness. It is being, is sat-chit, is consciousness. And another way to say it is this whole dream creation is nothing but me. I am its adhishtana, I am itself, I am its being, I am what is actually here. I am the satyam, the dream is mithya. But the whole dream is nothing but me, and so from the standpoint of me, the conscious being, there is no nothing that is inert. In fact, in reality, there is nothing but me. And so from that standpoint, and from the standpoint of Ishwara, from the standpoint of your being in terms of Brahman, the one from whom this whole creation has come, this entire creation is a conscious being, every single part of it. And we can label the different parts of this conscious being as all of the forces of nature or the forces that exist within the creation, the order of the creation. And then Swamiji will say, and every one of those laws is a devata. And so, say I'm relating to this creation, not as me being the conscious being in an inert creation, but I'm relating to this entire creation as a conscious being. So I'm relating to the sun as a conscious being, right? As a devata. I'm relating to the wind, that or the one who is responsible for the order, to Vayu, one who's responsible for the winds. I relate that as a conscious being, as a devata. Everything in the creation I view as that. And so when I view everything in the creation as Ishwara, and every aspect of of Ishwara as a devata, as the aspect of Ishwara responsible for those given laws, then that we get the rain, that the rain devata, Parajanyaha, gives us the rain, thank you, you know. That the rain comes at the proper time, and that the food is able to grow because we have the sun and the rain coming at the proper time so that it will grow, rather than having it start to grow or the trees start to blossom and we get a freeze and they're all destroyed. So these things, when all of the rains and the rains and the winds and the all of the things and the sun and all of the things that are necessary to be taking place at the proper time so that we can have the food that we need to eat, you know, so that we can survive. We're all propitiating the devas, the devatas, for those blessings, you know, because we view all of it as a conscious being. And so just like if you give something to me, I will say thank you so much, you know. What if you give something to me, you give me a gift, and I just, you know, kind of throw it under my arm and take off. It's kind of like, wow, what was that? that's not very happy. It's not very normal. It's not very happy. And so just think, what if I treated all of you as that I was the conscious being and the rest of you are all inert? And it's totally bizarre to think about it, but actually, we are the only conscious, we are the conscious beings are in the minority here, and we have no relationship with what is not a conscious being. So we don't really have necessarily, it's not necessarily that I have a relationship with Surya, with the sun, or that I have a real relationship with Prithvi, with the earth, you know, or with the winds, or with the waters, or with the food that is growing. Do I have a relationship with them? I only can have a relationship with them if I see them as a conscious being. So if I see it all as Ishwara, I can have a relationship with every part of Ishwara. If I see it Ishwara and I recognize, as we do in the kind of Vedic world, that if I see all of this as Ishwara, I'm grateful for the whole and I'm grateful for every part. I'm grateful for Vayu, for that Devata, for the winds. I'm grateful for the waters. I'm grateful that we're not in a drought. Swamiji in his commentary said, you know, if the waters don't come, if the rains don't come, there's no food. The rains have to come. And they have to come at the right time so that we can have food, you know? Or what if the rains come all together at the wrong time and we have huge floods? The rains are coming, but they're not coming at the right time and in the right place, you know? So that's the order. And we are responsible from a Vedic perspective. It's our gratitude, our yajna, our relationship, our thank you, our participation in this order, being ones who have free will, that actually plays a role in everything working well. And so here, when he says, and we're going to kind of get more into it, I suppose, you know, so may you propitiate is the word that can be used for bhavyata. May you propitiate, you do something which is pleasing. May you appease the gods. But it has that sense of, if you give me something and I'm grateful, I show my gratitude. I feel grateful to you that you would even think to give me something. That gratitude is that propitiation that appeases the gods. And the gods, you appease the devas, and the devas appease you. They give you what you need. So there's an exchange there. And that exchange has to be acknowledged, just like between us. These exchanges need to be acknowledged, or there's some hurt there. You know? It's a hurt. It's a papa. It's an adrishta papa, because nothing has really happened except that you feel hurt, you know? So something has happened. You feel hurt. And then that can have unseen results. So yajna itself, doing a yajna, is really the production of what we call an adrishta karma. So for instance, they'll say like, if say that I don't pray to, we'll see in the next verses, if I don't pray to Bhagawan, thank Bhagawan for this food. You know, we always pray, we always say like Brahmarpanam or the prayers that we say, that's acknowledging to Ishwara that thank you that we've received this food. And so then we're able to eat that food, and we eat it as a yajna actually, and that produces a drishta result for us, which is a punya karma, produces some punya for us. And so as all of us do that, then all of the devatas that are involved in the production of food are all happy. Because they've been acknowledged. It sounds silly, but it isn't silly at all. Because you have to think about it in terms of your personal relationships. And then you understand that this isn't silly. This is how it is. This is what it is to be human. This is what it is to have dharma. This is what it is to care about others. It's just that we don't include the universe as an other, right? As another, as Ishwara, my relationship with Ishwara. And so you can understand, say, if you see in the dream that you as a character in the dream are part and parcel of the dream, you are cared for and held by the entire dream, and from the standpoint of the dreamer, that there is nothing inert. There's only one conscious being of which you are a part. That's another thing then, with that image, to understand you are actually a part of the dream. You matter. Your being matters because you are part of it. You're not from the outside looking in. You're actually part and parcel of that dream. And so your attitude toward the whole, you know, that kind of that grateful participatory attitude toward Ishwar, toward the whole dream, matters. You bless the dream blesses you. You care about the dream, you care about Ishwar, Ishwar cares about you. It's a beautiful exchange. It's an exchange of dharma. It's your duty. Animals don't have this duty because animals are not given this free will where they cannot care. I think I'll care today. No, I don't think so. They don't have that. They just live as part of Ishwara, you know, with their intelligence and with their emotions and with their instincts and with the training they get from their mother and father, which is all also instinctual. They manage and do what is there to be done. They don't think, I'll do this or I won't do this. They do what is there to be done for them, what is natural for them. That's not true for us. We can go off the, you know, we can go off the path, so to speak. And our going off the path is a disturbance. It disturbs the natural order, you know. So with that, by our staying within Dharma, by that natural gratitude and that relationship with Bhagavan, with Ishwara, which in India, in the Vedic culture, by doing all of these rituals and all of these prayers throughout the day that are enjoined on you, as you must do these actually, it's not an option. These are the things that you must do. These are your responsibilities. So from childhood, that relationship with Ishwara is engendered. It becomes just part of you. And then as we grow older and you become a mumuksha, so to speak, then you start to recognize, you know, that yajna, that karma, you know, goes toward everything in the creation because there's nothing that's not Ishwara. For dharmanishta also, somebody has dharma within that Vedic religion, the Vedic mind, everything that I do is everything that I can do, everything I received is a gift from the devas. And so I give back my thanks with gratitude. And really the expression of that is my own dharma. There's many ways of expressing gratitude, but your main expression of gratitude is your commitment to dharma, because the commitment to dharma is a commitment to Ishwara. So now with this he goes on, and what he says is, he says, Ishtan Bogan hi Vaha Devaha Dasyante Yajna Bhavitaha. What he says is, though the devas who are propitiated through yajna, through that ritual, through that gratitude, through the dharma, those devas, dasyante, they will give vaha to you, ishtan bhogan, those bhogas, those enjoyments which are desired. It means the things which you need, those devas being propitiated by you, they will give to you what you need. So the universe will support you. You support the devas, and the devas will support you. There's an exchange. Okay? Then he says, Taihi dattan apradaya ebhyaha yaha bhunte stenaha evasaha. But he says, the one who bhunte enjoys those things which are given, dattan, the one who enjoys those things which are given by the devatas, apradaya ebhyaha, having not offered anything back to them. Apradaya, that's the informal past participle, it's a negative. Having not offered anything back to them, he goes, stenaha evasaha. They are only thieves. They're thieves. They're just takers. They take without giving back what they need to give back. There's no exchange there. They just take and run off with what they've gotten without any type of acknowledgement. So they are stenaha. They're viewed as thieves. It's like a papa karma. So we'll see in the next verse, it's viewed, this is a papa karma, because just like in the world, you know, somebody does something for you, somebody takes care of you, they offer something to you, you just take it and run off. You know, there's no exchange there. So they're looked as stenas, as people who are just thieves. You know, they take and they go. And so Swamiji is an example of, you can think, well, you know, I don't have to. Most people, maybe most in India, they could think like this, not us, because we don't usually do it at all. They could think, you know, in a chorus, say if you have a chorus, everyone is singing beautifully. I mean, I'm always able to kind of blend into this. I really related to this example. Everybody is singing. They're all singing on tune. So beautiful, except for a few of us, you know, who don't really know how to do that. We don't do it that well. But nobody notices, because the group itself is kind of carrying the Dharma. They are carrying the song. But this person can't do it, not joining in. This person's not going in. This person's making mistakes and kind of off tune. This guy's person's off tune. And if they were the only ones singing, we'd have a problem. It would really be kind of grating. But when the majority are doing that Dharma, they can kind of get away with it, you know, with that. But here, it's kind of the same. You can have that mindset, well, most people are doing that, I don't need to, you know. I think that that's kind of what has happened to us in reference to where we're at now with the climate change and everything, you know, because we can say other people will take care of it, other people will do what needs to be done. I don't really have to, you know. And so there's just been way too much compromise in doing, giving back to the earth, which is actually not taking care of the earth, or not taking care of the ocean, pouring loads of plastics and whatnot. They said in another several years there will be more plastics in the ocean than fish, you know. So, but it's not that there's a collective adharma with a few dharmis, instead of a collective dharma with a few adharmis. And so, and then also with our situation as the population, we say the population for the earth should be around in something like 2.5 billion. Would be good for the earth. And we're approaching 8 billion. And so now the collective adharma really matters. You know, because say when we're only 2.5 billion, the earth can kind of handle it. The ocean can kind of handle it, because it's still so much bigger than these adharmis. the Kali Yuga adharmis, okay? So it's big enough to be able to handle it. But now the adharma is so widespread all over the earth. The earth is, you know, being inundated with all of that. And so it's not able to handle it anymore. That's what's happening to us. The air can't handle it. The ocean cannot handle it. And so it's as though they are all, that all of the devatas are having to... they're reacting. And they're obviously reacting. There's so many floods, you know. There's so many wild winds and tornadoes, and in areas where it's becoming freezing cold, and then different, a lot of the islands are being flooded now and don't even exist anymore. Whole continents, whole groups of people are having to move and become refugees. It's a total mess, but it's a response. It's a response to us, you know. And we have to change our response, the communication, you know, that gratitude or trying to take care or being appreciative of this beautiful earth is not something that is there, because it can just, you know, the sun's up there and the earth is down here, and we have dominion over all of the earth and all of the beings. And so it's not about taking care of anything, it's just making use and enjoying. And so there's an adharma that we're out of sync. It's an incredibly out of sync. But then there can be little pockets of dharmis, You know, people who are not out of sync, people that have that gratitude, who are following Dharma, who respect all of the elements, who respect all of the devatas, and try to give back and be respectful and care, you know, have that relationship with Bhagawan in terms of all of the devatas also. And then they feel, then they will give back to us, you know, because that's how it works. They will give back to us. We have to give to them, you know, our love and respect and follow Dharma. And then the earth will, and all of the devatas will give back to us. Ishvara will give back to us. We'll come back into balance. And so that's what we have to do now. We can't just be takers, you know. But now we have to know enjoyers. We're just here to enjoy and to take, not to give. That's not true, you know. We can do that for a while because all of the dharmis are covering our butts, so to speak. We're being covered by all of the dharmis. But when all of the dharmis are becoming adharmis and it's becoming out of proportion, then that's a difficult situation that we find ourselves in. And so we have to understand this, you know, and own up our relationship with Bhagawan and our relationship with all of the elements and our relationship with the earth. I think it's, if you think of the dream, you know, think of you have a dream, the dream that is your life on the dream earth. And you just watch, it's kind of a long dream. In fact, you can have a 10-minute dream and whole generations can go by in that 10 minutes in a 10-minute dream. But just imagine the earth starting out like in the first yuga with people being predominantly dharmanishtas. Dharma is still fresh. The cow of Dharma is on four legs. You know, so Dharma is rules, and there's an adharma here and there, but you know they're way so far outweighed by the Dharma that they're barely noticeable. It's like one singer who's off key, you know. It doesn't matter. They don't have much influence. They themselves will suffer from being off key, but everybody else is fine. But then, as time goes on, you know, the population grows, and the amount of the pressure on the people and wanting to satisfy their raga dveshas and whatnot just becomes more. And it becomes more to the point that it starts to matter. So the cow of Dharma loses another leg. And what that means is that the balance between Dharma and Adharma, you know, is becoming strong. The Adharmis are becoming more. So the balance is not just where they're not noticeable. Now they're noticeable. But the cow of Dharma is a little bit weakened, but she still has three legs, so she can still stand, and Dharma still reigns, you know. But the population keeps growing, and the pressure is on the people to fulfill their desires and get what they need becomes more and more. And so at some point, you know, many hundreds of thousands of years later, it becomes noticeable, and the cow of Dharma loses yet another leg. And now the adharmis are, this is the Mahabharata war. Cow of Dharma in the Mahabharata war has two legs. Because it's kind of an equal, it's an equal balance. On Arjuna's side, there's a whole army, a huge army. But on Duryodhana's side, there's another huge army. It's not like Arjuna's side has thousands of people and Duryodhana's side has a few hundred. Oh, it's equal. And so in that case, that balance between adharma and dharma is kind of equal, and the poor cow is trying to stand there on two legs. Dharma, adharma, you know, but it's got a pretty big body, and so that's not a pretty situation. But now in this era, hundreds of thousands of years later, with much more population, much more distance in time from that very fresh morning, the dawn of the Vedas, when you first wake up in the morning and everything is fresh. Now we're tired and it's nighttime, and we're many yugas away from that first manifestation of the creation. So there's a tiredness and a darkness, and we're all overcrowded, you know. And so that's the Kali Yuga. That's the Kali Yuga situation. Here we are. We're tired. We're crowded. You know, it's very hard to for everybody to get the food that they need, to get the water that they need. There's conflicting religions. We're in one war after another. That's the Kali Yuga, you know. And so the Adharma, what's happening is the Adharma is becoming more and more and more overwhelming. And so the little Dharmis, their voices are not drowning out the Adharma. And just like, you know, the person who's, instead of being the person off-key, it's the little Dharmi, the Dharmi that's kind of off-key. So now the thing is, when they say with Kali Yuga, it goes like this. I'm going to go down because Kali Yuga is going down into the darkness. Okay, so but it goes like this. But then like this. It comes up, you know. So you don't go, it's not a straight descent into more deeper, darker Adharma. So we're going like this. We're coming up. We're in the dark. We're in such a dark time. But then the Dharmis are still alive and well, you know. And it matters. That matters. And so our own sensitivity, our own care, you know, for the creation, our gratitude to Ishwara, our living that life of Karma Yoga, that prasada buddhi, that relating to the creation as though it's Ishwara, that's all what we need to do. That's our dharma as a human being. That's our dharma. And the more of us that do that, the more blessings there are. So then he says, again, so after saying the one who can't do that, who doesn't give back, that person is like a thief. They're taking but not giving back. There's no relationship there. So then let's do this next verse.
Yajna shishta shina santaha. Ichante sarva kilvishaihi. Bhunjate te tvagham papaha. Ye pachantyatma karanat.
The first line. Yajna shishta ashinaha santaha. Muchante sarvakil bishaihi. Then bunjate te tu agham papaha te panchati pachanti atmakaranat. So he says, those santaha, your santaha, there's two ways to take it. We'll take it this way first. The santaha, those dharmis. The santa are those saintly people, the satpurushas. The satpurushas are the good people, the people who are good, the dharmis. Those satpurushas, yajna shishta ashinaha, means who eat. Ashinaha means to eat. They're ones who eat that which is shishta, that which is left over after the yajna. So that means that when we have our meal, say for instance, it'll expand out to other things. But when we eat, first we pray, the Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi, and to Annapurna, we pray. And in that prayer, we are offering the food to Bhagavan. Sometimes even 8 morsels of the food will be taken and put on the altar. We're offering all the food to Bhagavan. And having given it to Bhagavan, then we eat what is left as prasada, you know. And so, those people who offer the food that they eat, that is what gives you your life, they offer first to Bhagavan. Those people, Muchan, those good people, the Sadpurushas, Muchante, they are liberated sarva kalbishaihi. They are liberated from all of the little papas, the little papa karmas that come up with all of the kind of all of the killing and harm that we do, just that takes place unwittingly, just from sweeping the floors, and these animals are killed, and these insects are having to die, just to make room for us, you know. Like we have to get rid of all of the mosquitoes because they're making our life miserable, so they're swatted. to get rid of all different kinds of animals that are little animals that are causing us problems because we can't coexist with them. And we're just stepping on things, and all kinds of little papas are continuing, unintentionally really, but continually taking place. And so for those who, the food that they eat, and just in the eating of food, so much killing takes place. I'm not talking about meat. It's just like when you're, say when you're cutting down the food in the field, how many creatures' lives are taken just by doing that? So these are all considered little papas. Even though we don't do it intentionally, still many creatures are dying at our hands. And so all of those little papas that we incur along the way just because of being human, you know, we are, all of those papas, we are muchante released from. All of those little papas that come. There's another way of taking this, and where the santaha is actually, the first way I took santaha, you can take as the sadpurushas. You can also take santaha just as an adjective, as a present participle to yajna shishtashinaha. Means they, those people who are this being people who are always offering to the Lord. They are released from all these little sins. You can also take it, kilbishahi, that they are released from all karmas. They are liberated from all karmas. That means the only ones that can be liberated is sadpurushas, is jnanis. They always offering back, you know, to Bhagavan before eating. Everything that you do is as a prasada buddhi. I see everything as Bhagavan, and I receive everything that is given to me as prasad. So that's karma yoga. So this verse can be taken as karma yoga. So for that, with that karma yoga buddhi, I am released from all karmas, punyan papa. I'm released. In terms of how I'm receiving them, I'm not subject. So you can take like this as a mumukshu. I'm not subject to the punyan papa because all I'm experiencing is prasad. Right? So that's that prasada buddhi. On another note, for the jnani is released from all karmas because of the antakarna shuddhi that takes place, then that antakarna shuddhi results in knowledge. And in that way, I'm released from all karmas because I'm a karta. I have, for me, there are no karmas. But for a mumukshu or a dharmi, for the one who has the prasada buddhi, you're also released from all of the karma palas, the fruits of the karma. The jnani is released from the karma, period. The mumukshu is released from the karma pala. I still consider myself a karta, but the karma pala, I'm completely free. Because for me, the karma pala is the prasad. It's just the prasada buddhi. Because that's the only reason I'm doing the karma in the first place, is as a worship, as a yajna to Ishwara. And so then everything I receive is only the prasada buddhi. So you can take this, and Ashankar takes it in both ways. So for that person, whether you take it as I'm released from all of the little papas that occur as I go on living, all of the animals that are killed, all of the plants, all of the injustices that are done, just by the mere fact of my being alive, all of those papas, I'm released from all of those. But he says, bunjate te tu agam papaha ye panchanti atmakarana. He says, but those papas, those people who are papis, the papaha are the people, who are really, I'm just going to keep papa now, who are really ones who are engaged in papa, they eat bunjante, whereas they eat, these papis, they eat agam, they eat papa, they are eaters of papa. Agam means papa. We sometimes translate papa as sin, but it doesn't really work. It's because sin has its own kind of Christian connotation. So papa means those adrishta karmas. Adrishta karmas are the unseen results of my action. Those drishta karmas are negative. They bring about the manifestation of negative results. negative results are results that are meant to cause me papa, meant to cause me pain, dukkha. So I become someone for the person who just takes, who just enjoys the food. That food they're enjoying is papa, because the adrishtapala, the unseen result of eating that food, is papa. So they are papis by not having any relationship with the universe, not saying papa, not saying, that's not having that prasada buddhi, not acknowledging Ishwara. Then they are eating food just as food without any acknowledgement. Those people are eating papa. The adrishtapala, the adrishtapala there is very negative. So he says, they eat, enjoying the food, they are cooking, pachanti means to cook. They are cooking atmakaranat. They are cooking the food only for themselves, only for me. Me means all of us. I'm saying just cooking the food, and it's cooking for the food for us here. Put it down, let's eat. That's it. Yeah. There is no offering to Ishwara, no understanding of your place in the creation or how much has been given to you to allow you to eat that food. And so then we have no relationship, but no relationship with Ishwara, with the creation. And that creates an adrishtapala for us, a negative result. An adrishtapapa for us, a negative result. You know, because I'm living as a stena, I'm living as a thief, you know, with no relationship with Ishwara. So anyway, that's good enough for now, I think. This whole chapter is kind of like this. Drum it in.
Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.